From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what's up, people? Is it 1 o'clock already? Yes, it is. I can't believe it. I tell you, the day just flies by. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I'm your handsome host, Al Martin. On this February 11th, 2014, folks, we have a ton to talk about, as always, on the show. I tell you what an audition. You know, anyone who knows me knows that I love, just absolutely love the Detroit Pistons. It's my favorite team of all time. I bleed the red, white, and blue. And what an audition for John Lawyer, the interim Pistons head coach yesterday, playing the always competitive every single year. They seem to bring it every year. I mean, if you look at last year. I mean, the Spurs, San Antonio Spurs, the Pistons made slight work of them yesterday. Now, it may not look like it at the end of the day when you look at the score, 109 to 100. But, I mean, there was one point where the Pistons were leading by 20 points in that game, folks. They were certainly rolling. And Brandon Jennings, he looked great. I believe he had 21 points. I mean, what an audition for John Lawyer as the Pistons, really. I mean, it was an emotional type game. The first game playing without Mo Cheeks, of course, he was fired after 50 games into the season. And, man, they look like a totally different team. Had me wondering, where in the heck has this team been all year? But we'll definitely talk about that. And we have so much to get to, folks, including new revelations concerning a certain Caztec football star. Also, we'll give you an update on the Olympics. And we'll talk, give you guys a preview of the Michigan and Ohio State men's basketball game that takes place tonight. And also, a Top 5 Tuesday, the top 5 multi-sport athletes of all time. And, of course, we bring that up because Tracy McGrady, a former NBA basketball player, has decided to take his talents to the baseball diamond. And you know what? You know, when I heard about this story, I was sitting there like, oh, my goodness, Tracy McGrady is going to try another athlete trying a different sport. Especially, we've seen this happen in basketball before. I mean, if you look at Michael Jordan when he tried his hand at baseball. But McGrady, baseball was his first love, and he wants to try pitching. And you know what? He turned some heads yesterday, folks. We'll bring that up in a minute, too. So there have been many athletes who have tried their hand and dip and dabble into other athletic avenues. So our top five Tuesday for today are the top five multi-sport athletes of all time. And you can pretty much guess who number one is going to be, at least on my list, okay? But without further ado, let's get to the show. Here are your current sports headliners for this February 11th, 2014. Well, charges are being sought against Detroit Caztec football star Jayrue Campbell, accused of attacking a security guard. Now, these are according to online court documents. Now, these records show a recommendation for a warrant that was filed yesterday in the 36th District Court in a case against Campbell, who is verbally committed to play football right here at Michigan State University. Now, the possible charges listed include assault with intent to do great bodily harm, less than murder, a felony, and aggravated assault, a misdemeanor, according to the records. These are according to online records. Now, Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy scheduled a news conference for 10 p.m. today to announce a charging decision. Now, according to a news release issued by her office today. Now, a spokeswoman for her office declined to comment beyond that, and Campbell could not be reached for comment. And again, if you know, we talked about this story not too long ago, and you can catch the video of Campbell body slamming a security guard. It went viral online if you want to check that out. I mean, it's disturbing stuff. We'll talk about that later on the show as well. Again, if you want to call in and also give your opinion on anything that we talk about on today's show, you know the number. I say it every day, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And also, in ESPN's post-signing day top 25 college football poll, guess what? The Michigan State football team is stomping with the big dogs, folks. That's right. The Spartans come in at number 4 in the sports media giants rankings, behind defending national champ Florida State, perennial powerhouse Alabama, and September 6th opponent, Oregon. Now, other Big Ten teams ranked in the ESPN poll of the top 25 preseason teams were Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Michigan. So how about that? Michigan State, number 4 in ESPN's post-signing day top 25 college football poll. Gotta love that. My goodness. All right. Michigan and OSU tonight. The Michigan Wolverines will try to bounce back from a rough loss at Iowa over the weekend and regain sole possession of first place in the Big Ten with tonight's visit to Ohio State. Now, the Buckeyes have righted the ship with a 2-5 after a 2-5 start in January to win their last 3 games and jump back into the top 25. They are currently ranked 22nd in the nation. Now, Aaron Kraft will try and stifle Wolverine sharpshooter Nick Stauskas, who has struggled since the Wolverines lost to Indiana on February 2nd. Now, tip is set for 9 p.m. tonight on ESPN. And again, the Pistons, Detroit Pistons, what an audition for his first game with John Lawyer. I mean, a 109-100 win. Pistons bested the San Antonio Spurs. Brandon Jennings, he led the Pistons with 21 points. The Pistons actually forced 19 Spurs turnovers, including 8 in the third, alone to push their lead to 20. While the Spurs were in the midst of a 9-game road trip and played without injured Manu Ginobili and Kawhi Leonard, the upswing in the Pistons' energy level is certainly promising due to what has ensued over these past few days with the firing of former head coach Mo Cheeks. 6 players scored in double figures and 2 more had at least 8 points. Lions defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh is slated to become the latest high-profile athlete to seek representation from Jay-Z's Roc Nation agency. Now, while the terms of a potential deal are unknown, Roc Nation is going to be part of Sue's advisory group. Now, Suh fired his previous agent before the Pro Bowl. Suh is in his final year of his rookie deal and will likely look to discuss a long-term extension this offseason. Now, he is slated to count as a $22.4 million cap hit against the Lions if the deal isn't restructured. So how about that? Jay-Z's just racking up the athletes, and Ndamukong Suh looks to be the next one on his list. All right, Olympics, how did Michigan athletes fare yesterday? Well, on Monday, Shani Davis of Marquette High, Northern Michigan, and U.S. Olympic Education Center in speed skating, he finished 24th in the 500-meter with a 2-run combined time of 70.98 seconds. 1 second off, just about 1 second off from a bronze medal. He likes to treat the race as a warm-up for the 100 and 1,500-meter. Jessica Smith of Melvindale, who competes in short track speed skating, she failed to advance to the 500-meter quarterfinals after she fell on the first lap of her heat. She will still compete, though, in 2 other events. Also today, Danny Davis of snowboarding, he's from Highland, Michigan. He will be competing in the halfpipe quarterfinals. Lindsey Vann of Gross Point, who competes in ski jumping, she will compete in the individual normal hill. And also Shani Davis of Marquette High in speed skating will compete in the 1,000-meter race and will attempt to become the first U.S. man to win the same event in 3 straight Olympics. Now, snowboarder Sean White will attempt to do the same in today's halfpipe. And also want to note some hockey action. Swedish hockey team, they will play the Czech Republic. I believe that game's been going on for about an hour now. Kicked off at noon, so there you have that. Red Wings star Pavel Datsyuk says he will play in Russia's opening Olympic preliminary game Thursday against Slovenia. Datsyuk has been nursing a lower body injury that he suffered 2 months ago. And how about this? It's interesting news here. Bob Costas, folks. Bob Costas will not host the rest of the Sochi Olympics due to an eye infection. His replacement will be Matt Lauer, host of NBC's Today Show. Costas will be sitting out for the first time since 1988 when he first began hosting the Olympics. It will be the first time since then that someone else will be hosting the primetime Olympic interviews. So Matt Lauer of the Today Show will take over for that. He has 2 eye infections now. It spread to his other eye, folks. Crazy stuff there. And also Tracy McGrady. Some have thought Tracy McGrady was trying out baseball was a bad move. But minor leaguers in the system have given McGrady praise as he threw 2 hitters yesterday. Barrett Barnes, a Pittsburgh Pirates minor league outfielder, went on to say, quote, "He's so tall and his arms are so long. His downward slope, you're not going to see that too often." So Tracy McGrady turning heads yesterday as he threw 2 hitters. We'll see how this turns out. This story could get more interesting by the day. All right. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527. Again, the number is 517-355-9527. And share what's on your noggin. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And also you can tweet me, that's right, at Twitter by tweeting me at AlMartinWKAR. Of course, there's so much to talk about. And folks, one of the lead stories that we kind of dove in yesterday was the Defensive Player of the Year in the SEC Conference in college football, Michael Sam, who came out over the weekend and proclaimed that he is a gay man. And this will be the first time that this is on the eve of the NFL draft. He will be the first active player to in American sports to proclaim that he is gay. And this will be unbelievable stuff, folks, because when you look at it, he's making history, and there's been a lot of talks, especially in the NFL, on how athletes in the NFL will handle having a teammate that is gay. And you know what? If we rewind the time here on the show on Current Sports, we actually had a segment on Current Sports that dealt with homosexuality in sports. This occurred over the summertime during when the show was in its infant stages, which it still is. But and we talked with an individual by the name of Don Hubbard. And Don has a very, very interesting story. And we had Don on the show right on the eve of the whole Jason Collins story. You know, Jason Collins is a former NBA player. And Jason, near the end of his career, now he was still active. He was still an active NBA player. But near the end of his career, when he was, you know, about to retire, Jason came out and announced that he was gay. And we interviewed Don on just the status of homosexuality in sports. And Don had a very, very interesting take, and his interview was compelling, to say the least. Here it is.
Don Hubbard actually came out as gay in 1978, just before he ended college at Eastern Michigan University. He ran track and cross country for Eastern and participated in the 1990 Vancouver Gay Games, where he actually won gold. Now, Don is the co-founder of the Rainbow League Bowling, Bowling League out in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in which they are coming up off to their 21st season. So, Don, it's my privilege to welcome you to Current Sports, man.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks a lot, Don. So, Don, first of all, let's take a trip back to 1978 when you first came out as and announced that you were gay. What made you come out then, and why that specific time frame for you?
Well, I think at that point I kind of had a real good grip on who I was. There's just no situations that arose to it. I mean, I was going to school, I was working, I was running for the school, but fortunately I was able to meet some people who were in theater and stuff who have to be gay, and that was a real eye opener to me. They were kind of like I felt like a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I came out and met somebody, and it just, everything felt natural. So I'm like, well, here I am. I'm gay.
Right. Now, Don, for you, well, just looking at this whole thing. Now, back in the 70s and 80s, not much was known about HIV and AIDS, and many dubbed it, quite frankly, as a quote-unquote gay disease. Now, it was not until Magic Johnson, his HIV announcement was made that people started to open their eyes and say, hey, this isn't just a gay thing. So after coming out, did you ever receive any of that backlash as far as HIV and AIDS were concerned?
No, I mean, it was kind of barely spoken of then. Actually, it took a few years for them to really come to grips of what it was. But no, I mean, now I've been, I guess, fortunate in my life. I've not gotten much negative feedback from anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or even heard it from other people. I hear stories from people that have. But and then dealing with being pos, I, again, was fortunate. My family was very accepting. I had told my mother. Found out later she didn't take it as well as she appeared to take it, but she Mm-hmm. She accepted it with no problem. And there was a family situation where I came out to everybody else all at once. Mm-hmm. That was very hard. But inside, my gay friends, I felt, well, they're my family if this family rejects me.
Right.
So I kind of got a backup plan. But knowing my family, I wasn't seeing that. And in fact, the first thing my ex-sister-in-law now said way back then was they knew I had a friend, Chuck. So I guess they put two and two together. Mm-hmm. And then her first statement to me was, you must love Chuck very much. I want to have you over for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how my family, they know me as Donnie Hubbard growing up, and they still call me Donnie Hubbard, or now people call me Don Hubbard. And but, yeah, for me, again, I just, even at work, the guys at Running Fit is where I worked. Tremendous guys to work for, very supportive. They worked with me, very supportive of everything. So for my end, I've been lucky. I've been blessed that everything has been positive. And I do things with people that are positive. I mean, I've been positive 30 years on meds for 25 years. So that's a little bit of experience that I can help other people because, people are still being diagnosed.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, they just don't get the gist of safe sex. And
mm-hmm.
But in fact, I'm one of two people from way back then, all the people I was in support groups with, that are still around.
Right.
Most of those people have been dead quite a number of years. I guess I got the lucky genes from my mother, but, I do the right things.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Hubbard. Don actually came out as gay in 1978, just before he ended college at Eastern Michigan University, where he ran track and cross country, participated in the 1990 Vancouver Gay Games, actually winning the gold there. And for the listeners out there, of course, who can forget about this moment?
Because of the HIV virus that I have attained, I will have to retire from the Lakers today. I plan on going on living for a long time, bugging you guys like I've always have. So you'll see me around. I plan on being with the Lakers in the league. Hopefully David will have me for a while. And going on with my life.
Now, Don, for you, when you got the news, I mean, when you listened to that Magic Johnson bite, that was a moment where, he had to go in front of the public and let everyone know that he was retiring because he had acquired the HIV virus. Don, when you got the news that you had acquired, that you were positive, just take us through that moment and what was going through your head during that moment.
Well, I got tested. No reason. I just went and got tested, and the guy told me, he said, you're positive. And you're talking like, at that point, it was 87, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really did seem like a death sentence, but, I don't try to get caught up in the negative, I'm always active. I'm always trying to inspire other people, and I just things that keep me going and positive. And
mm-hmm.
so I it just never got me down. And with Magic Johnson, when I heard that, I personally didn't understand why he felt he needed to quit playing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe back then people were a little more leery of it, but that was his choice. But you can still do everything if you are positive. You just have to do the right things. I do it real quick. I always say it's a team event. I'm teamwork. Eat right, cut the stress, do some exercise. If you smoke, quit. Take your meds. If you do all the right things,
right.
Again, I've been on meds for 25 years. I am now having my best counts ever, basically normal.
That's great.
So there is hope. If you become positive, there is hope out there. Just, again, do the right things for yourself. Only one person can take care of you, and that's you.
Gotcha. Now, Don, let's look on the sports side of this thing. Now, you ran track over at Eastern Michigan University. Where did your love for running begin?
Well, actually, we had moved from San Diego to Michigan, third grade, We had to go run a 600, which I didn't know what a 600 was. In third grade, I ran a 216, best in the school. Kind of opened my eyes, and then just kind of progressed from there. All my friends, I had great friends from elementary, junior high, and high school. We all ran together. We did sports together. So that kind of helped, and we all ran track. And then I went to junior high and had a very good career undefeated. But to me, it's as important as the team because I know my best friends were running with me. We wanted to win as a team. And then I had a freak running accident my senior year in high school, which kind of hurt my running career, but I went to Eastern Michigan to run. That's where my brother ran. Mm-hmm. And I did okay. You know, I had my successes. I ran on some winning relays. And so... Mm-hmm. And I ran cross country, so I kind of did that all through college.
Right.
And then after that, it was just running again until I started the front runners. So.
Now, Dan, you eventually went on to participate in the Vancouver Gay Games. For those who don't know what that is, explain that to our listeners.
Well, it is mostly sporting events, but it is truly not about your ability. I remember guys in running races that fast walked. It truly is about being there and just participating. And I think you need to go as a participant because you get to march in with your state, everyone from your state. Mm-hmm. The stands are filled with thousands and thousands of people cheering you come in. I mean, there's nothing in life more empowering of you.
Right.
If you don't feel good about yourself being gay, before that, you will after the gay games. And then you meet all these people from all around the world, you know, during the week that you're participating, going to social events, get to march in with the friends that you've made. And again, the stands are full. The next ones are in Cleveland, actually. Mm-hmm. I believe it's next summer.
Right.
I may be wrong. But that's a local one. Even just to go and watch, if you want to see people from around, gay athletes from around the world. And actually, the Gay Games every year is the most participated sporting event in the world.
Wow, is it?
Yeah, so that's the friend who inspired me, Dewey Ames. He had won a medal in the marathon. He was sort of my springboard. He ran when they were the Gay Olympics, when Tom Wydell, who was an actual Olympian in the Mexico Olympics,
right.
He started them. And then at one point, finally, the Olympic Committee came in and said, you can't use that word Olympic. So then they went to the Gay Games, but then they found out how big it was. Again, the biggest event of the year, sports-wise.
Mm-hmm.
They said then we could use the word Olympic, but by then it was too late. So I'm happy calling it the Gay Games. But again, if you could go, please go. It's not about your ability, and you will leave so empowered of who you are being gay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Hubbard. Don came out as gay in 1978, just before he ended college at EMU, ran track and cross country, and participate in the Vancouver Gay Games, in which he actually won the gold. So, Don, going back to this subject, and you look at like an athlete like Jason Collins, who has recently come out, and Robbie Rogers in the MLS, there are many out there who believe in the whole, quote-unquote, don't ask, don't tell philosophy. Now, do you agree with that all when it comes to athletes coming out as gay or lesbian or whatever?
Well, my feeling is I need to feel comfortable. And so I like it to be known to whatever team I'm there, I'm gay.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Because not that I act any differently, but I want to be, you know, it just gives you the more freedom to say what you want. And I don't know, I just... I think when you have to, quote, stay in the closet, it kind of hinders you. You know, you can't say what you want to people. You may have strong feelings about something, but you can't express yourself. That's part of the reason with the gay bowling league is they could be in a comfortable environment and not worry about what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, the whole thing is just exposure. The more exposure the rest of the world gets to how many gay people there are, they're finding out, oh, they're just like us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why you see so many more things coming out, more athletes coming out. I think it's a tremendous thing for the gay games that to have people coming out. And it seems like most of the teams that these guys are on are very accepting.
Right.
You know, so...
So it's a more of a comfort thing when you look, when you boil boys down
to it. Yes. It's like on my job. I mean, they knew everything about me. And you know what? I couldn't have been in a better environment. I could actually go talk to my boss. I could say anything to him that I could say to any of my gay friends
mm-hmm.
and feel comfortable. That can't always happen, but again, I want to be me. You know, I'm just a normal guy who's gay.
Right. Now, Don, I got to ask you now, do you think there are still many active athletes right now who are afraid of coming out? And what advice, if they're listening right now, what advice would you give to them?
Oh, goodness. Well, I certainly would like to see more of them coming out. And I think the more that do will make it easier on the ones that are real hesitant about it, because I think a lot of them fear, and everyone always has fear with the coming out, no matter what, that, you know, the team's going to reject them or whatever. And that is a fear, you know, that they have to deal with.
Yeah.
Try to just kind of talk to your teammates, find out kind of where they are on things. You know, you can get a reading on those people. Talk to the management.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I see the more it happens, the easier it's going to be for everybody. And then you, when you do come out, and hopefully you're accepted, and it's not an issue, you're going to feel so much better. And then I believe you're certainly going to compete better. You know, because now you know your team is really behind you. You know,
right?
Not to show you where you can't be who you are, but who you are.
Were you surprised at all? Because, like I said earlier, I mean, there was a lot of positive feedback when Jason Collins announced that he was gay and came out to the public. I mean, guys like Kobe Bryant endorsed him. Countless of other basketball players in the National Basketball Association, the commissioner of the NBA, David Stern, supported him. Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. Bill Clinton. I mean, were you surprised at all of the positive feedback that both Robbie Rogers and Jason Collins received once they came out?
No, not nowadays.
Right.
There's just so much of being gay out there, and I think it's tremendous that, you know, they get the support from, you know, the elite athletes, you know, and elite entertainers. Are supportive. I mean, we have so many entertainers that support gay people. But mm-hmm. for the sports, you know, if you get the support of the elite athletes, man, that's just got to be a boost to you. Man, you know, Kobe Bryant, man, he can accept me. You know, he can feel comfortable with me in the locker room.
Right.
It's. I always said things would change. It's just sometimes you have to give people time to accept it. Because for me, how long did it take me to accept me being gay?
Right.
So you have to give those that don't know it yet a little time to deal with it. But more than that, you know, things will be in the positive.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Hubbard. Don actually came out as gay in 1978, just before he ended college at Eastern Michigan University, where he ran track and cross country. And you're also the co-founder of the Rainbow League Bowling League out in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in which you guys are coming up to your 21st season. Talk about the Rainbow League a little bit, Don, and how did that come about?
Well, our housemate, Jerry Moore, and myself have been bowling in Detroit. I mean, Detroit's had gay leagues. Well, every major city has gay leagues, for those that don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's gay tournaments all during the year, great ways to travel, meet people. But we, you know, we live in Ann Arbor, and we were having to drive into Detroit. Actually, when I started, I had to drive from Ann Arbor to State Fair, which is Woodward, and it's a long drive.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we thought, well, we'll hit Ipsy Arbor Lanes and see if they'd mind us starting a league. We told them about the league, and then finally I said, well, you have to know that it's going to be a gay league, a gay-run league.
Mm-hmm.
And they jumped on it.
Right.
They really, really, really took us in. They gave us whatever we wanted. They just were tremendous for us. You know, other leagues finally learned about us. And then once we started our tournament, which is basically half gay, half straight, we're like a happy community with everybody now.
Right.
So it just, and again, in our league isn't about your ability. It's about being out on a Wednesday night for a couple hours, being out with new friends, meeting new friends, and bowling and having a good time.
Right, right. So, Don, for those out there listening, if they want to get involved with the gay games or rainbow bowling, how can they do that?
They can go to a2bowling.com. I believe that's one of the sites. I have no problem if they want to call me, or I can give my email address.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's for a lot of people. I'll give you my email address. That's the better way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cubbare46@aol.com. I mean, I can give you any information you need. Sometimes I just tell people, we start the first Wednesday after Labor Day.
Right.
If you're just curious, come early to that, and maybe you'll get hooked into joining. Maybe see some friends that you know that are bowling in it.
Right.
But contact me. I believe the website is a2bowling.com.
a2bowling.com. That's when they can get in touch with you. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So Don Hubbard, you came out in 1978, just before you ended college at EMU, ran track and cross country. Now, in light of the whole, with Jason Collins coming out and Robbie Rogers, what do you hope with those two individuals coming out, those two active athletes coming out, what do you hope that message sends to others in the sporting community that are kind of weighing and really, really having difficulty with coming out themselves? What do you hope this does for them?
Well, I hope they, you know, I mean, for them, it's been positive. So hopefully they'll see that, and it will give them the hope and the drive and the will to think, okay, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And just try it. I always say, you know, life is short. I need to be who I am. You need to be who you are. But again, these athletes that have come out, it's all been, well, not all positive, but very, very positive for them. And I'm hoping the more that do, the more that will come out. And then pretty soon it won't be a factor.
Right. And, Don, I got to ask you, I mean, because you said, like I said, it's not all positive. The feedback's been coming back, but it's been overwhelmingly positive. For those out there who kind of criticize, I mean, why do you need to come out and profess this? You know what I mean? Why can't you just live your life? And if you are, you are. If you're not, you're not. And just kind of go through the motions and keep your mouth shut about it. What do you say to those individuals who think that?
Well, again, education, I just call it education, is the key to people learning. If they don't know gay people, then they're going to hear the stereotypes and stuff. But when they can actually start seeing these gay athletes and so many positive people are following them, again, like Kobe Bryant, you know, once they see that, I just ignore the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I've never had that much of it. But, again, the more that come out, you know, you just got to be brave. And the more exposure they get to gay athletes that, oh, they're just like us, then it'll be easier for everybody else, and pretty soon, you know, it won't be a factor of who's gay and who's not gay. But, you know, it's a personal choice, but, again, I'd say life is short. You've seen people that have been coming out now as gay, so they have examples, they have role models, sort of, you know, that they can follow.
Right.
Hope that will lead them the path, and that have as positive a path as anybody.
Definitely. All right. Well, there you have it. Don Hubbard. Don came out as gay in 1978, just before he entered college at Eastern Michigan University, where he ran track and cross country, participated in the 1990 Vancouver Gay Games, where he actually won gold. Don is co-founder of the Rainbow League Bowling League out in Ann Arbor, in which they are coming up on their 21st season. Don, thanks so much for being a part of the show and engaging in some dialogue on this very touchy topic, man. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to be there, and I'm glad to put out the word, and hopefully it'll help people.
Thanks a lot, Don.
Yeah, so yeah, that was Don and I back this past summer. Again, that was around the time when NBA player Jason Collins had came out and announced he was gay, and also Robbie Rogers in Major League Soccer, he came out as well. And, of course, this past Sunday, Michael Sam, Defensive Player of the Year of the SEC, came out and announced he was gay right on the loom of the NFL draft. And, boy, I tell you, it's a topic that is definitely taking getting hit more and more headway, it seems as though, as the months and years go by. And hats off to Michael, because that takes a very, very strong individual to do so, to proclaim that, especially as still an active player. So, all right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Pistons. We'll also give you a preview of tonight's Michigan and Ohio State game. Again, if you want to call in and give your views on any of that, you can call in at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, an Oscar-nominated documentary that looks at hospice care for prisoners.
They're not going to get medical parole, or commutation is rarely used, if ever. So these guys are basically destined to die behind bars.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 o'clock.
Hi, I'm WKAR's Emmanuel Berry, host of Kern State Weekend. Spend your weekends with me as I highlight Kern State's weekday stories and explore mid-Michigan's vibrant arts and culture scene. We'll cover from the latest at Wharton Center to community events. Tune in Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at noon for WKAR's Kern State Weekend.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I'll tell you what, guys, Tom Izzo, he pushed his press conference from Monday to Tuesday today. And, guys, I'm pretty sure those of you who read local sports around the area and listen to us, of course, and watch TV, sports TV, you'll be hearing pretty soon about Tom Izzo's Twitter rant. Yeah, he went on another one, folks. We all know that Tom Izzo hates, absolutely despises Twitter. If Twitter was walking down the street, he'll probably hit him in a kneecap or something. I mean, he really, really hates Twitter, folks. And he went on another Twitter rant today. And, you know, I'm looking on Twitter at some of the hilarious, to say the least, hilarious quotes. And, you know, he one of them, I'm trying to find it right here on my own Twitter page. He talks about, oh, here he goes. Twitter, this is Tom Izzo's quote of the day that many of people are calling it today at his presser. He says, quote, "That phone is like a drug. We should start phone testing." So there you have that. You know, Izzo, he talks about many fans out there who, quote, hide behind keyboards and wrongfully, I guess, criticize the team. And he went on to say, "On this is another one I love. Guys, Matt and Alex, he said this, I will still buy your paper. I will just use it for something else." I love that. Tom Izzo, no filter today at today's press conference. So, yeah, I heard the rant was pretty long. He went on like a 20-minute Twitter rant. So there you have that. Guys, let's shift gears really quick. The Detroit Pistons, of course, on the right on the heels of the firing of Mo Cheeks, The first game after Mochiz has been fired was against a very formidable opponent in the San Antonio Spurs. The San Antonio Spurs, of course, are always in the playoff mix. They're one of the top teams in the Western Conference. And the Pistons just made them look like babies out there yesterday, guys. At one point, they were up by 20 points in the game. Of course, in the fourth quarter, the Spurs got on a bit of a run. That's why the final score was 109-100. And I got to tell you guys, from what I saw yesterday, first of all, I'm sitting there like, where in the world has this been all year? That's one of the things, because they just seem to play with another level of passion, especially defensively. I mean, they forced so many turnovers in that game. And what an audition for John Lawyer. I mean, if you look at him as opposed to Maurice Cheeks, who's so cool as a cucumber on the sidelines when he's coaching. I mean, John Lawyer was very amped and animated on that sideline. I mean, there was one point where he actually came out to the half-court line to yell instructions to the team. I mean, it was a great audition for him. And if you're a Pistons fan looking at that game, you got to wonder, I mean, where in the world have these Pistons been? They are now tied in the eighth spot right now in the East. So they're if the playoffs are in the day, they will be tied in that eighth spot as they try to make a playoff bid for the first time in quite some time. But it was refreshing to see that. And Brandon Jennings, I mean, he was unbelievable yesterday, guys. 21 points. Again, they forced, get this, 19 turnovers for the Spurs. I mean, you never see that. Again, you got to take this with a grain of salt because, again, they're still without Manu Ginobili. Also, Kawhi Leonard is a big part of that team as well. But to do that against the Spurs, that's very, very – I was impressed last night, guys.
Yeah. The best thing I could say about last night is just – they just were rolling. They were just rolling. It just seemed like everything clicked. And they played angrily, Al. They played angrily. And when Drummond would go up to block, they just looked angry. It's like Maurice Cheeks inspired this anger out of them, that they were just like ready to play for Lawyer. They just looked like a totally different team.
I agree with you 100%. Because when I watched that game, I mean, they just seemed very emotional. I mean, Chauncey Billups talked about it before the game. It was an emotional type of game for them. And they played like it. They played like it was a playoff game, to be honest, which, I mean, they were clicking on all cylinders. One of the best games I've seen them play all year. And they did play angrily. I will say that's a good word to put it.
But it really was a playoff game because when you look at the Spurs rivalry, back to 03, 04, 05.
You have to go way back for that rivalry. Yeah
I was
going to
say, maybe you forget that five-year period where the Pistons were doormats.
I'd like to forget that, but
I don't know. I would disagree. I think that the rivalry still stays with the Spurs.
I know what you mean, though. I mean, back in the day, they played like, you know, their playoff lives were on the grind. You were right here, right now. Yeah. I mean, they looked unbelievable last night, and I think that had a lot to do with the emotional moment of their head coach being fired.
But also think, this is the same Spurs starting five. Are about the same that it was when they were playing back in 05.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's what makes the Spurs so amazing. That's what makes the Spurs so amazing because they, every single year, they make the playoffs and go. We saw them go deep last year with this old team, but they have so many pieces off the bench they can throw at you.
Regardless if the Pistons aren't the same, those guys all were on other teams when that Spurs team in 05 was forming. And they all know that this is a main staple in the NBA.
Yeah,
I would
take it with a grain of salt, though. I mean, this is still the Pistons we're talking about. I won't go too crazy over this win, but it's a good win. Yeah. Looking at what just happened with their head coach being fired.
What about Jennings? What do you guys think about Jennings?
Oh, he's unbelievable. Brandon Jennings is unbelievable. I mean, looking at him last night. Go ahead, man.
To me, the grain of salt that you have to take this win with cannot be big enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the first game after firing the coach, so the team is going to come out amped up. Teams usually respond one of two. You know, they're either gonna bring an A+ effort or they're just gonna quit on the season. And I think it's too early to quit on the season at this juncture. They're playing the Spurs in the middle of a 9-game road trip. You know, they're down without Ginobili, without Kawhi Leonard. When you come in and face a team that has renewed energy, Marco Bellinelli led the Spurs in minutes last night.
Mm-hmm.
Nando DeColo played more minutes than Tony Parker. It's not exactly like they're playing the Spurs A squad. And I'm not saying that that's taking anything away. You can still absolutely say the energy level was improved. And it was. That's 100% true. But what I want to see is, can they keep that going? Because it's one thing to do it one night against a Spurs team that you've circled the calendar for, you know, probably a couple weeks now. You know, the Spurs come to town, you want to bring your best effort.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This team has beaten Indiana at Indiana. They've beaten Miami.
Right.
I want to see what they do when they play the Bucks or the Cavs. mm-hmm. if they're still going to drop games like that, because that's the problem with the Pistons. It's not that they can't have these one-off games where they look great. It's consistent effort, consistent performance. You know, win three games in a row. Now, right. I mean, now they have, obviously. Yeah. But I mean,
is it four
you know,
now, I think?
Keep winning three? In a row. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah. they got to keep a win streak going. They got to be consistent on the road. I mean, it's just like I haven't seen enough. Obviously, one game is an incredibly small sample size, so you don't know
yeah, exactly.
how to judge this yeah. going forward. But it's encouraging to see the effort improved. I just want to see if they can keep that going. You know, talk to me in 3 weeks. Are they still right. bringing this kind of defensive effort?
Yeah, I agree, because when you look at it, I mean, you know, the Pistons, I mean, they've beaten the Heat this year. You know what I mean?
Right.
They've had some big, big wins, but, you know, teams that are lowly, if you will, I mean, that are at the bottom of the East or the bottom of the West that aren't in the playoff hunt at all. I mean, though, we've seen the Pistons.
Game,
yeah, the Jazz game,
ago.
Exactly, when Trey Burke lights them up. I mean, we've seen the Pistons definitely just take nights off, you know what I mean? And, you know, psychologically, I mean, something, you know, like when a big team comes to the Palace or when they go on the road and play that team, I mean, they bring it. They do bring it. The thing is, that consistent effort, as you talk about, has to be there. And it starts on the defensive end. If it's anything that the Pistons prided themselves on last night, it was defensively. They weren't letting the Spurs score any easy buckets last night. I mean, you know, if the Spurs scored, it was a tough layup, a tough drive. It was, you know, they were making sure that they were clouding the lane and getting hands in people's faces. Something we have rarely seen this entire season. I mean, we know the Pistons are among the NBA's worst teams defensively. And to see what they put together last night was great. Again, it's an emotional time. You got John Lawyer out there coaching, you know, as a head coach for his first time. And the Pistons brought it, period. Point blank. And I've been saying this for a few weeks now. I need to get tested or something here. But Stuckey played great last night.
Wow.
Rodney Stuckey was great last night, I thought. He did a good job of managing
the game. This is going to be a show to go back on and remember.
I've said it a few days ago, actually, too. I mean, Stuckey was not bad last night. I mean, he picked and chose his spots. He had a few nice jumpers. He drove the lane very well. He got his teammates involved. That's something that I've not been able to say at all for Rodney Stuckey. I mean, it was not a bad game for him. It wasn't a bad game overall for the team.
Yeah.
But how consistent were they? Can they
right.
keep this up? That's the question. I don't know.
Do you all think that Jay Smooth can gel with the team the way he did last night? I mean, I don't know. It seemed like he gelled a lot more than he had before.
Last night was just one of those nights where the Pistons just had it going overall. I mean, I can't pick one bad player who had a bad game in that game. I mean, it was just one of those days, and you know, I would have to see more from that too. We got to see more of the Pistons right now. I'm not going crazy off this win over the Spurs. Granted, it's a big win over a very, very good opponent, but we got to see this consistently. So,
my question is, do you think Mo Cheeks is too laid back?
Yes, without a doubt.
Do you
the
think
Pistons,
that-
and I've always said the Pistons needed a coach that is going to get in your butt and tell you what you're doing wrong and light some fire under you, because coaches that are too lax, we saw with Lawrence Frank. I thought Lawrence Frank was too lax. I mean, those coaches just kind of lay back. I mean, the Pistons, they need some discipline when it comes to a lot of things. They need somebody to wake them up. John Lawyer, I mean, from what I saw last night, I mean, he is a fiery, fiery guy. I mean, I would be happy, man, from what I saw last night. If he keeps that up and they keep racking up wins, why not stick with him?
Right, and I'm intrigued to see how they respond to that kind of style if they're losing games.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you don't have to go that far back. You go back to the John Kuster era,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the team is scheduling mutinies. You know, it's like, you know, that kind of high-intensity, in-your-face coaching tends to wear guys out, especially in the NBA. If you're not consistently winning,
I think it depends on the team, though.
Apt to buy into that. Well, yeah it definitely depends on the team.
Yeah.
But when you have a roster that has Brandon Jennings and Josh Smith,
mm-hmm.
chances are good that there might be some turmoil ahead if things go south. So I just want to see how they respond to his coaching style if they're not winning games.
Right. I see that. Because, yeah, when you talk about coaches who are in your face, real fiery type of coaches, I mean, it depends on the personnel who's on the team.
For sure.
Because different players respond differently to that type of coaching. I mean, some players, it motivates them. Some players take it as a chip on the shoulder and say, all right, coach, well, I'll go out here and try to play better. Some players look at it as you're dissing them. You know, you're messing with their pride. Why are you calling me out, if you will? You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond. I mean, Brandon Jennings, of course, we know their history with that when it comes to coaches who get in their butts.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. We'll definitely see what happens. But as the season goes on, I'm just happy that the Pistons right now are still in playoff talks right now. That's all I'm happy with right now. All right, guys. Also, Jarue Campbell. Charges are being sought against Detroit, the Detroit Cass Tech football star, who was accused of attacking a security guard. As records show, a recommendation for a warrant was filed in the 36th District Court, and the possible charges listed include assault with intent to do great bodily harm, a felony, and aggravated assault, which is a misdemeanor. And this is, I mean, Kim Worthy, right when we get off the air, Kim Worthy, who is the Wayne County prosecutor, she is scheduling a news conference at 2 p.m. to address the charging decision. So, guys, I guess I got to be honest with you. This, and Campbell cannot be reached for comment. He hasn't commented on this. But this does not look good at all. He hasn't even returned to school because of this incident.
All I gotta say is he better have a good lawyer.
If I'm Michigan State's coaching staff, I wouldn't pursue him, man. I don't know. This has really gone too deep for me, and I mean to the point where charges are now being filed. I mean, he could be in some serious legal trouble here. I don't know if the kid is worth going after. I mean, is he that good? I don't know. That's sticky for me.
It doesn't even matter how good he is. I brought this up a couple weeks ago when we were talking about this, but University of Michigan had a similar case with DeMar Dorsey. He had a charge for like aggravated assault, robbery.
Was it this bad?
I'd argue that what DeMar Dorsey did was worse,
right.
But this is worse because it actually was on film, and it's in the state of Michigan. DeMar Dorsey was an athlete in Florida. No one really saw or knew about it until it came out after signing day.
Right.
This is amidst his commitment. This is a year before he actually signs Michigan State. For me, this is way worse because it's on tape, like you said. It's a year before. He's a junior.
Right.
He's a junior in high school.
And the thing that really stands out to me is, I mean, J. Rue Campbell, I mean, if you look at it, and countless people will tell you this, I mean, he's a hothead. He's had a history of just, I mean, if you look at the whole post-game, I always go back to that, man, the post-game handshake, and he punches a player.
Yeah.
And then that's video of that, too. Both of those incidents are caught on video, and you can see the punch happen, and you see his assistant coach comes and tries to hold him back. He pushes him off. Another coach gets involved, and they have to shove him on the ground and kind of scream in his face saying, calm down. This just looks bad, and I don't know if D'Antonio wants that type of character on his team. I don't know.
I'm going to end on this. I say, you said you don't know if D'Antonio will.
I would drop him. If I would drop him. If I saw this, I would drop him.
At this point, there's no way D'Antonio gets him.
Yeah,
and I think the only way is if he played sanity, which he's not going to do, because then they'll revoke it either way. Because there's no way you can get out of this situation.
Right.
No way.
I agree. I would. If I'm D'Antonio, which I'm not,
I'm 100% pulling.
I'm done.
Well, especially the kind of program that, you know, they pride themselves on running. It just seems like that isn't the right fit.
Right.
There's probably more to the story.
Right. You know, there's two sides to every story.
Exactly. There's got to be more to it. Right. I mean, you know, it went viral, but it's, you know, a 5-second clip of him body slamming a security guard.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I think is odd is that there's a big press conference from the Wayne County prosecutor for a 17-year-old.
Right, right. 2 p.m. Press news conference.
Seems like there would be more important cases going on that they could be talking about. But
right.
I get that it's a high-profile case and that it went viral and he's, you know, a high-profile kid, but it just seems a little bit overboard.
Right.
To me.
I think it's because of the whole hype that's around the kid, especially him coming to play football at MSU. And, I mean, that's why the media are demanding, you know, all this. You know, they need something to write about, so they have to hold a presser
for it.
Well,
a high-profile technician coming to Michigan State.
Yeah, that's big.
That's big. That's big.
It's definitely big. But, yeah, again, this is really, really sticky. Again, there are two sides to every story, and we talked about that when the story broke. I would love to hear Campbell's side of that story. But right now, I mean, just imagine if he came here, the media fiasco that will be surrounding him. I mean, I'm pretty sure, I mean, there would be media members left and right asking about, I mean, that incident itself, you know what I mean? So that's really sticky, guys. All right. Also, Michigan and OSU, they tip off tonight at 9 p.m. I believe this is Michigan and Ohio State's only meeting this year,
which is
pretty crazy. Now, guys, really quickly. Some hits. We got about 7 minutes left. Shutting down Stauskas. We talked about this. If they shut down Stauskas, I think Ohio State does pull out the win. Have we predicted this one already?
No.
I don't think we have. I think I'm going with Ohio State in this one. I think if you shut down Stauskas, it disrupts their entire offensive flow. Ohio State, though, the concern with Ohio State is will they get the how efficient will their offense be? Because we've seen Ohio State struggle offensively multiple times this year. They seem to be getting it together, though. If you look at their last game, a 67-49 win over Purdue. LaQuinton Ross, he led all scorers with 17 points. Ross has now reached double figures in 8 consecutive games and 14 of his last 15. Now, Ross is leading Buckeyes with scoring right now at 14.2 points per game. I love Caris LeVert. I really love Caris LeVert. I think he's been a very great, consistent scorer these past few weeks for him. And also Lindzell Smith Jr. For Ohio State. He's averaging 12 points. So, again, for Ohio State, it's if they can get their offense going, and how well would that defense be against Nick Stauskas to shut him down. Also rebounding, I think Ohio State has the advantage on the boards. When you look at Michigan, all they have really for me, if you look at it, just Jordan Morgan. They ain't more than that on the boards. And, you know, it's going to be a good game. I think it will be a good game.
Yeah. Summarizing up in 10 seconds, you got a real streaky team, and you got a team that's on a losing streak on away games. I'm going with the streaky team. I say Ohio State definitely pulls it out. Michigan's looking for an answer.
Yeah, I think Ohio State wins too, and I think, you know, you put Kraft on Stauskas. I think that's going to happen. They kind of neutralize each other. Mm-hmm. And then the big matchup for me, I guess, would be Glenn Robinson III versus maybe LaQuinton Ross. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be if Stauskas isn't going and if Glenn Robinson isn't getting easy looks, he has a tendency to kind of just disappear in games, right, on both sides of the floor, offense and defense. And if he disappears defensively and Ross and Lindzell Smith Jr. get going, then I think they might be in for a long night. I think Ohio State ends up winning in the 5 to 10 point range.
Yeah, but I think it'll be close. Yeah.
I think it's just going to be tough for Michigan to get their offense going against arguably the best defensive team in the conference.
Right, exactly. If you're a Michigan fan out there, if you're Michigan, I mean, this is a golden opportunity for you to, you know, take the lead in the Big Ten now, the outright lead. I mean, you gotta come correct. I think John Beilein is going to have his troops ready. I just think defensively, Ohio State is really going to bother Michigan and really cause some disrupt in that area, which will be the key. So, all right, guys. Oh, 4 minutes. Oh, this show just flies by. We're going to do the top 5 greatest multi-sport athletes of all time. If we don't get to one of you guys, we'll announce it tomorrow. For me, guys, we'll just run through them real quick. Well, I'll let you guys go first. Alex, go ahead.
Okay, I have my most recent memory top 5 because I wasn't around, you know, way back when. Mm-hmm. So with Jim Brown and all that. So I got number 5, Jeff Samardzija. Great football player, Notre Dame, major league pitcher. Loved him. 4, got to have Mike. You talked about it earlier.
Just as an honorable mention,
right,
at least.
Michael Jordan.
Got to say his name.
3, Antonio Gates, because a Michigan native. Mm-hmm. So have him. He was really a big basketball player before going to football, I remember. And then number 2, LeBron James, just a freak athlete. I mean, this guy played football, basketball, was phenomenal at both. And number 1, I have Allen Iverson. This guy was so highly touted, Al.
He was a very good football player.
So highly touted. And mm-hmm. LeBron could play football too, but Allen Iverson was literally top 10 in the country when it came to football.
He was really, he played QB, right?
Yeah. And for his height, it just shows that this guy literally was the answer.
So. I miss AI.
All right, was Michael Vick before Michael Vick.
Yeah, he was great.
Really. I had Samardzija too. He just signed a $5 million contract. Matt Trannan, touchdown Spartans, Brett Musburger's favorite call. Let's go Antonio Gates. I have him as well. When you take Kent State to the Elite Eight and then go to the NFL and make 8 Pro Bowls, you're pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Also, Tony Gonzalez, another basketballer in college, went to play professional football. Julius Peppers did the same thing. Most recently, Jimmy Graham. So if you're going to play college basketball and you're not going to make the NBA,
hey, try the NFL.
Maybe go play tight end because you're going to do well.
And the thing was, Gates was undrafted, guys. Undrafted.
Yeah, undrafted. Because he didn't play football.
Right. He didn't play football.
It's crazy. Number 4, Jim Brown.
Yep, Jim Brown. Lacrosse, man.
Lacrosse. He said his first love was lacrosse. He would rather play that, but the money was in football.
Some consider him to be the greatest lacrosse player of all time.
I wouldn't want to stop.
Unbelievable. He was good.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yeah, I'm going to count him. He wins a national title at Miami in 91, goes to the CFL, kind of flames out, and then takes up his true calling, wrestling. And now he's a blockbuster star. So, I mean, that guy is multi-talented, to say the least. Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson. Number 1 for me, though, Jim Thorpe.
Jim
wins
Thorpe,
gold medals in decathlon and pentathlon, then plays 13 NFL seasons and 7 in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, Thorpe is now my number 1, too. Real quick, guys, got a minute left. I'm going with Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon. Top goaltender prospect in Nigeria before taking up basketball. He was great. John Elway, guys. John Elway, little people know. I mean, he was a great baseball player as well. I got to go Jackie Robinson. He was great at football, track as well. and play baseball. He was a great baseball player. Jim Brown makes my list, as you just said, Matt. And Jim Thorpe has to be my number one honorable mention for MJ just because he's Michael Jordan. He's the GOAT for me. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic day. And be easy, people.